Voices of Defiance podcast number 39, recorded live in front of an internet audience on Sunday, July 26, 2015.
This podcast is part of the Gunna Geek Network. The opinions expressed may not represent other podcasts or affiliates of Gunna Geek. Check out more podcasts at gunnageek.com and get ready because geekiness starts in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Voices of Defiance. It's a podcast about sci-fi's television show Defiance and all of its universes to include, but not limited to, the video game. We're not experts, just a few fans like yourself that love the show and want to geek out about it. If you haven't caught up to the latest aired episode, you might want to pause right now and go catch up, since there will be spoilers. You have been warned. And now, let's have some fun and get on with the podcast.
Quick! We gotta get off the planet! Krypton is exploding! Hello, I'm your host, Stargate Pioneer, and with me is the lovely morning, Miss Shannon.
Hello, guys.
Ooh, nice voice. And with me is the ever quippy, forever quotable, and often forgettable, Mr. Sean.
Good afternoon. Good morning, wherever you are, time zone-y type stuff.
Yeah, whoever knows. Defiance is international. Matter of fact, multi-planetary. So we're pretty cool with time zones and solar systems and timelines and whatever.
What's up, homies?
Hey, today we'll be talking about Season 3, Episode 8. My name is Daytac Tar, and I have come to kill you. Just a reminder that you can catch us at GunnaGeek.com. Go to our podcast page on that site, and you can find all the great ways to reach us. Don't forget, we have a voicemail number, 612-888-ARC-1 or 612-888-2751. And today, we're continuing our wonderful tradition here on Season 3 of Voices of Defiance. We have one of the stars of the show with us, Mr. Billy McClellan. How you doing, sir?
Good morning.
And thank you for taking the time out today to come talk to us after getting stabbed, and I counted 13 times.
Oh, you counted.
It was a great exit.
Was that actually you that she was pounding on, or was that a body double?
It was me, but she just had the handle of the knife, so she was really just hitting me with the side of her fist, and
Hey, man, in certain parts of the country, you have to pay a lot of money for that kind of treatment. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, the amazing thing about Stephanie is that she, on the show, she's Little Wolf. You know, she sometimes is so animalistic and so powerful. When you meet Stephanie in person, she's, I don't know, maybe 95 pounds. She's so tiny and so sweet. At first, I thought, I can't fight this girl. But when she brings it on set, it's terrifying.
I can't fight her, but then she kicks your butt.
Yeah, I always wondered about that because she looks, like you're saying, like she looks like less than 100 pounds soaking wet. But
yeah,
when you look at Little Wolf with her in her full garb, because I've seen interviews with her and everything, and you're just like, I don't think that's the same person. And then you see her in college, you're like, holy crap.
I know. When I got the job, I got the first two seasons and watched them in about 5 days. And there were moments in watching, you know, there were parts in the first two seasons where Stephanie just scared the hell out of me. Like she goes to some animalistic place, but in real life, she's just the sweetest pie.
Well, and it's good to be killed by a pie, right? I mean, if you're going to be killed, might as well be killed by a pie.
That did not sound right.
We knew you were a red shirt.
Yeah. Okay. You drew first blood. You know what? I wasn't even going to say anything until I heard Jesse's interview. And by the way, man, great job on Jesse's interview. How much fun was that?
Oh,
that was great.
He was a blast. He really was.
That guy, he is such a good storyteller, that guy. And I'm getting sidetracked, but we had a cast party one Saturday night. And he sat down at the piano and he let loose. You should hear that kid play piano.
Oh, wow. Was he sober or drunk?
He was sober.
Okay. Was he wearing a bathrobe?
Was it yellow?
He was wearing a top hat, though, I think.
Number one.
With Trisha Helfer there. Exactly. We just got to run through it all with Jesse now.
You know, if I could be a fly on a wall for any moment, I think that might have been it. To go home and see him in his Captain Kirk bathrobe.
It was awesome.
What the f*** was I talking about?
Red shirting.
Oh, is the reason why that the last week episode took so long to come out is because Jesse swore so much?
Yeah, see, we're all pro swearing, and SP is very much not, because for some reason he thinks this is a family show, even though we're on it.
Yeah.
So we're, yeah, it's just a constant thing.
It's a ratings thing. It just makes it more people FCC. Can actually, yeah, more people can actually listen to it.
Here's my thought. What you're losing in the swearing, you've already completely lost in sexual innuendo.
Exactly. That's all I do. I mean,
that's all we know.
Yeah, but I've been listening really closely, Sean. You're right. You do it quite a bit, but Shannon is always the instigator.
Normally, always.
Thank you.
I am.
I take great pride in that.
I am an innocent babe in the woods.
You are.
See, you're just constantly boop. See,
beep again.
It's not my fault.
Yeah.
Well, Lee Turgeson got his own profanity on Friday night. That was fun to see or hear.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that guy's a killer actor, isn't he?
Oh, wow. How was all the scenes with him throughout the cold, brittle months in Toronto?
Well, okay. So first, I'll talk about Lee, and then I'll talk about the cold. Lee is, he's really interesting to watch on set. He has impeccable focus and concentration in the work. The work is always number one for that guy. His thought process, you can see him, like he had huge chunks of dialogue, and his thought process is so clear. When he's speaking, it's like watching somebody that is really good at doing Shakespeare do Shakespeare. I was lucky in that for my first four episodes on the show, I got to just stand back and be a fan and run in and deliver a message every now and then. And I can't tell you what a treat that was just to sit back, and especially after I became a fan in those 5 days where I blew through the first two seasons, and to get to show up and see those folks working, it was just such a treat. And the cold, I shouldn't tell you this because I was supposed to be a ruthless killer. But when we were doing some of those scenes out in the cold, I had 41 different pieces on my body, mostly
around
to
his
keep
junk.
Warm pieces. And the coldest thing that I had was my weapon. And I made the mistake, or I struck gold in saying one day, I was kidding, of course, I said, can I get a warmer gun, please? And I swear to God, after every take, props comes up and they take your weapon. So I guess you don't lose it or break it or something. But when I went into the warm-up tent, props had my weapon over the fire, warming my weapon for me.
Get a warmer gun.
Usually if you start firing it, they warm up, by the way.
Yeah. And for the people that end up getting the DVD or still have it PVR'd, speaking of firing the gun and telling you things I shouldn't, in the scene where Ram Tok's wife shows up, you remember that one up on the hill?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, there's at the end of the scene, everyone shoots their guns in the air to celebrate. And I didn't shoot my gun. My gun was just a big toy. Mine wasn't a working weapon. And when they stretched the prosthetic over my ears and poked a little tiny hole so I could hear a little bit better, it turned my ears into like a snare drum. So all sounds were super loud to me. And if you look in that final shot of that scene, you can see me flinching up and down with every gunshot that goes off.
That was a brutal scene.
Yeah.
A crazy scene.
Mm-hmm.
So whose great idea was that? Was that Ram Tok's or was that BB's?
Which part?
In the need want.
Oh, that was Ram Tok's.
So you had nothing to do with that brilliant strategy?
No, I think BB's just a hell of a follower and takes direction well.
So why wasn't the end of the cave or mine shaft or whatever, why wasn't that guarded? I mean, you guys just went out, there was nobody there. There's supposedly this whole army in front of the stasis net.
He's got a job to do, man.
There's like 12 guys.
Yeah, well, I had my eye on the prize. And if you look at one of the pictures that I had put up on Twitter, at one point Alak is down, Aris is down, and Nolan is down, and up till that point I was fighting fair, and then Nolan does eye gouges, and then I get stabbed from behind, and none of that is gentlemanly.
Sure. Well, to be fair, neither is like hand grenading an entire cave full of people.
Mm. Now, let me get back to the red shirt thing. I don't even think Ranakar, is that the kid's name, the sharpshooter?
Zero. We just call him Zero, yeah.
Zero. I would argue that he's not even a red shirt because he spanned over two episodes.
And actually, the actor was three episodes because the beginning. Yeah,
but we knew not only his name, but he had a nickname. What is BB's name?
Say it.
CCBB Gun. Oh, sorry, no. Lieutenant.
CCBB.
Lieutenant CCBB Gun.
Lieutenant CCBB Gun. You know what? I'll give you that. I'll give you that. You are no longer a red shirt, sir.
As a full name.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say it. This was my point about the Jesse interview. I wasn't going to say anything about the red shirt thing. And then last week, Shannon said to Jesse, so you're not a red shirt yet. Jesse can't be a red shirt. Jesse's lead on the show.
Well, that was then. Jesse has many colors now.
Jesse not only has a wife that died, a son, a father, a mother. We know all about Jesse. Now, Mr. CCBB Gun.
Anybody could be a red shirt. It's proven this season because they keep killing off everybody. So at the beginning of the season, you're like,
no, that's not what a red shirt is.
They killed an entire family that you didn't think was going to be red shirts.
That's not what a red shirt is, though. A red shirt is a character that gets introduced and then gets killed. So the only way that Jesse could be a red shirt is if he comes back as a human, they introduce him, and then they kill him.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Like his brother-in-law, Luke, was a red shirt. Because he was in the pilot episode and then gone in one episode. Don't you read your Twitter? Billy actually put the definition of a red shirt on Twitter, Shannon. Don't you read that?
Hey, you know what? It gets expanded. It is just a term.
Shannon's like, reality just has no concept of what I'm trying to do.
I think this is an opportunity for Shannon to invent a new phrase.
Yeah.
A sudden death phrase that is henceforth used in the sci-fi canon. So, Shannon, workshop that. Come back next week. Let me know what the new phrase is that replaces your idea of red shirt.
Plot fodder.
George R. R. Martin.
God, yeah, that's
been, a good idea.
I've been thinking that, seriously, that the writers have been watching George R. R. Martin and going, that's what we should do. Kill off the cast.
What a
great idea.
Oh, we don't have to pay them. We get this huge payoff from killing them. What a great plan.
Yeah. Same with The Walking Dead. Nobody's safe.
No. Exactly. You could be written off the show at any given time. So be careful at the craft services table and be nice to the writers. That's all we're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. When I got the part and was watching those first two seasons, I was so excited to get to work with Graham Greene. Yeah. Graham Greene in Canada is an institution. And then when I got the first script, I was so excited. Just
there you
hoping goes. I get to do a scene with him. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm in a scene with Graham Greene. And then I shoot him in the back.
scenes with Graham Greene.
I killed a national legend. Awesome. Yeah,
it was still hella fun, though.
I'll bet. He's a real humanistic sort of guy around. I hear he's one of the guys that you just want to go to the pub with.
Well, we were standing outside freezing our butts off, and they had all these little campfires set up. This was maybe our first day of shooting. And I was standing by one of the campfires with a bunch of the other background performers. And Graham came up, introduced himself to me. He asked me where I was from. I told him Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. And he said, do you know the song Bear's Privateers? And Bear's Privateers is this old sea shanty. And he started singing this old sea shanty. I joined in with him. We were standing by this campfire. They could have said, Billy, look, we've changed our mind. Your character's not moving forward after day one. You are, in fact, a red shirt. And I would have been completely happy with that.
I sang sea shanties with Graham Greene. Life is better.
Yeah.
But then you wouldn't have had a scene with Grant Bowler.
I was listening to the writer or director commentary for Draft Day with Kevin Costner a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he was talking about being on set with Kevin Costner, and every now and then Kevin Costner would come up and put one hand on his shoulder and take his other hand and put his fist on his chest. And he said, it just made me feel like $1 million every time that guy did that. Every time you hang out with Grant, he makes you feel like, it just feels like you're his like little brother. And you know that regardless of what's going on, you're going to get to the other side of the jungle with this guy.
Yeah, he's kind of the man's man, you know, like the old-fashioned Hollywood type that they don't really make the archetype for anymore.
Yeah, he's as cool as Nolan, except he also has this huge sense of play on set that is so much fun to be around.
So in addition to these great guys that you've had scenes with, you also had scenes with several of the great women on the show, Julie Benz,
Stephanie
Leonidas. And
you were killed by Stephanie.
True. And then also Jamie Murray. So yep. Is there like a Defiance bingo that you won there?
Well, let me tell you a Jamie story for Shannon.
Thank you.
Shannon lives for Jamie stories.
For the first two or three episodes, I didn't go to the read-throughs because they didn't need to hear me deliver a message at the read-through.
CCBB doesn't need to be there. We're just saying.
Yeah. So when I showed up, so I worked with the cast for three episodes and then showed up out of makeup early for the read-through number four. And I was sitting there. Everyone else broke for lunch and they all came in the room and I said hi to the director. And Jamie sat right beside me and didn't say hello. And then when Kevin Murphy, the producer, came in, he said, okay, everybody welcome. And we would like to welcome Billy McClellan, BB, to the his first read-through. And Jamie, who I had been working with for 6 weeks, turned and looked at me and said, off. What have we done to you, Billy? You're so handsome.
She didn't recognize you.
No, she sat there for 5 minutes and didn't say hello.
That's great. And then I also saw a picture tweeted by Trenna, so you got to hang out with her as well.
Yeah, Trenna is funnier than Doc, and Doc is funny.
We love Trenna. She's been on the show a couple times, and she has just been amazing.
She's one of those people that you meet and instantaneously feel like you met a kindred spirit. She's really lovely to be around.
So how was the process of getting the part for Defy? I mean, was there just a general call and then you submitted for it? Or, I mean, how does one become a main actor on Defiance?
Well, I showed up at the audition and in the room was the director, producer, Michael Nankin. Trenna was actually in the room. I didn't know Trenna at the time. And there were a couple of other people in the room. Now, interestingly enough, when I was in my maybe last 2 weeks of shooting of Defiance, Trenna said to me, I remember your audition. And I went, oh my, you were at my audition? Because I hadn't seen the show. I said, yeah, I kind of remember you. Now that she said it, I kind of remember her being there. And she said, yeah, it was me and Michael and Grant. And I went, Grant was at my audition? Because in my mind, in hindsight, I thought it was producer Kevin Murphy that was at my audition.
Ah.
But what's interesting, and it just sort of speaks to what a great guy Grant is, the only thing that I can remember about Grant being at the audition is when I came home and my girlfriend asked me how the audition went, I said, you know what? There was a guy there who was super kind and it really felt like he wanted me to get the part. He was really supportive. And that's the guy that I thought was Kevin Murphy. So before I even know who Grant was, he instantaneously came across as a lovely person. But when I did the audition, the director said to me, Michael said, I just want to say I've seen your work a couple of times and I think you're a good actor. And I didn't know if he meant on something else or for Defiance, because I had auditioned twice for Defiance and I distinctly, definitively know why I did not get the parts now that I've seen seasons one or two. But my first audition was for the pilot for Daytac.
Ah, holy crap. Wow. Going up against Tony? That's rough, man.
It is rough. Have you guys seen him in the film Red Road?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like night and day of Daytac, but both performances are so good. It just shows that dude's range of character. It's so amazing. And the other guy I auditioned for Defiance was, do you remember that episode where Nolan's old war buddy Eddie showed up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I auditioned for that part. That guy's name is Rob Stewart, and about 6 weeks ago, I saw this really neat documentary called Nick Slaughter for President.
Huh?
And Rob Stewart found out that, I think it was in the Ukraine, he's huge there. He found out after all these years that he did this sort of Magnum PI low budget show 20 years ago. And found out that it's huge there. And this documentary is about him a few years ago going there and meeting the press. And it's pretty neat.
He was on Killjoys Friday night.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's a good actor, that guy.
See, that's what I do to myself in my head. I go, I am huge somewhere. Somewhere there is a fan base that is just rabid for what I'm doing. Yeah. And that's how I get your guests. Yeah,
I do that too. It's called my mother's house.
In fact, it might be there that I'm huge.
Yeah, your mother always loves you.
Yeah. Oh, Nani, that was such a great cast. Did you listen to it, Mom? No, I just know it was great.
Because she loves me more.
Well, I know you guys have met all of the cast here and there and talked to them and stuff, but I don't know if everybody knows this, but it blew my mind when I showed up on set and everyone was speaking in dialects that aren't American dialects.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing hearing how they're able to pull off the North American dialogue. And actually, I would go a step further in that there's a distinct Northern or Canadian accent that mm-hmm. I'm familiar with because I'm from Minnesota or upper mm-hmm. New Yorkers or whatever. It's not really prevalent at all in the speech. So I'm amazed at the voice talents that all of you have, you included.
When I showed up on my first day and they broke for lunch and I went into the lunchroom, Tony was in there and Tony was talking to Grant at my table. And when Tony started talking to Grant, I thought he was doing a bit with his, you know, really thick Scottish accent. I thought he was doing a bit and I was like, hold on, that's that guy's accent.
I have a real hard problem hearing the harsh Scottish accent. Like Doctor Who, David Tennant, when he's talking or whatever, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't.
Yeah.
Do it, and Tony's got that too. So props to him, props to y'all. Well, it's great.
When you look at the main cast, Julie Benz, I think, is the only, unless I'm thinking wrong, and she's not the only American because you have Stephanie and Jamie are from the UK, and then you have Tony, who's
Scottish.
Jesse's from Canada. He's also from Montreal.
He's from Montreal, yeah. Yeah, and don't let what Jesse was telling you about Montreal never shutting down because of snow. That's a lie.
He's like, no, I've been there. It's been shut down.
I always had to go to school, so yeah.
We actually have a couple of co-hosts on the network that live in Montreal, and they say that too, that they have never had a snow day. So what is your experience? How can you counter that? Give us some ammunition.
Yeah, I went to school for 6 years in Montreal, and I was there during the Montreal ice storm, and it was like nothing I had ever seen in my life. And we still had to go to school because when you go to acting school, you don't need power. You just need a window with enough light in it to do a voice class. And we were having this voice class. And I looked outside the window and there was four or five guys pushing this car. So I said to my teacher, is it okay if we all run out and just help those guys get their car out? And so there was 10 of us in the class, maybe half a dozen of us ran out, helped these guys push their car. And, I looked inside the car and the car they were pushing, no one was actually driving it. these guys, I guess, were from a place where they don't normally have snow. And I said, do you mind if I try to get your car out of the snowbank? And I got in and just drove it straight out.
That would be like if that happened here in Texas, we wouldn't know what to do with ourselves.
Oh, yeah. If it's more than an inch or two, the entire town shuts down.
They're like, holy cow, what do we do?
I'm from Minnesota. I think I can drive in anything, right? So I'm there in Texas a few years ago. It was at April of 2010 or whatever, Sean. And I'm driving. It was a Sunday morning and I'm driving to the airport in 6 inches of snow, which I think, you know, it's kind of sporty, but it's doable because they don't have any salt because they have like two snow plows in the entire metro area. It was buses were going sideways at the airport, clogging traffic. It was not fun.
Dude, 6 inches is a... It's a big thing here in Texas. Come on, it took a while.
Come on, that was nice.
It took a while for me to think of that.
All right. So,
well done, baby.
Thank you.
What was your funnest time on set, Billy?
Funnest time was, interestingly enough, the same scene as which was the most embarrassing / brutal for me. Fighting Grant. Both Grant and I pick up really easy on quickly on the fight choreography, and to get to not only just hang out with a dude that you really admire, but to get to do that type of scene and to for that to be your send out scene, it was really I don't even use this word loosely, but it was really an honor. The reason why it was so brutal was because ruthless assassin. I shouldn't tell you this story.
Tell away, sir. Tell away.
You know how I aim the rifle at Alak and shoot him?
Yes.
And then Stephanie threw a knife at me, and without turning my head or anything, I had to let go of the long end of the rifle and grab it.
Yeah.
If you try to aim a rifle without your support hand, it's really heavy. It's really quite heavy. Uh-huh. And
that's why you don't aim. If it's an automatic weapon, you just let the kickback take it up.
Him.
Yeah. So by the time they got to my close-up, my shoulder was so burnt out from holding up that gun that when I caught the knife and pivoted so the stunt girl could do that little kung fu twirl and kick, I could barely hold the gun up. So I had to keep it down by my side until they said rolling. And even then it was everything I could do to not have the gun just completely trembling in my hand.
Uh-huh. Yeah. A lot of people don't think about it. That's very physically strenuous, the whole thing. And if you're actually in one of those situations, you have to have a lot of physical strength to do it. But even then, you could be completely exhausted. Like, I boxed in college, and it was 3 1-minute rounds. And by the end of that third round, you are completely wasted. So,
you know, I can bench press and chin up my own weight. But, and Stephanie, you know, if I'm just with Stephanie, she's very forgiving and saying I know what it's like. But you have a crew of like 60 people on the other side of the camera that want you to hurry up and get to the next thing so they can get on with their day or get on with lunch. You know what I mean? Like, it's
Yeah, it's all about craft services.
Yeah, it was, exactly. It was a killer day. Killer day on many fronts.
We enjoyed the communications officer / assassin this season. It was fun, and you've been just a joy to communicate back and forth on Twitter.
Super,
we really appreciate
sport about
it.
Us teasing you and everything. So it's we said this entire season that you've been great, both from a character standpoint and offline with us and everything. Just kidding around about the CCBB type thing. It's been super cool.
Yeah, and I'll throw a little thought at you. Okay, so we see CCBB getting stabbed in the back, but it's kind of a short knife. It's not long. It doesn't penetrate all the way through. It's okay. He stabbed 13 times.
Are you sissifying CC? It was
I'm giving him some hope here. So, okay, so we see him face down on the dirt, but he's an indigent. We don't know if his body's capable of absorbing that amount of punishment or not. I think he possibly could be. We could and because he's there and not in front of the gate, he survived the massacre. I think it's possible that BB comes back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I've already figured it out. I've already pitched it. This is I think how it's going to work. There's going to be a spin-off series all about, you know how they do those little flashbacks of when the aliens first arrive?
Yeah.
So this is what's going to happen. The aliens arrive and we all run out of the ship, and there's one that looks like Billy and there's one that looks like Trenna. So we both know that there are indigene underneath. Now, Ram Tak, in the first episode where he introduces me, he talks about me going into a shopping mall and shooting up the shopping mall. This is the backstory I've created for Doc Yule. When we arrived, she is actually the one that's asked to go shoot up the shopping mall. And when she shows up to shoot up the shopping mall, I end up, because BB was always in love with Doc Yule, he ends up taking the rifle, getting her out of the place, and shooting up the shopping mall. And so at that point, she is no longer affiliated with Ram Tak.
I could see that.
And goes to Defiance and becomes the doctor that we know and love. So I'm going to try to reintroduce myself using Doc Yule's backstory.
So what would be the relationship between BB and May?
Fleeting. Oh, yeah. Fleeting. Oof. In the CCBB show.
Love triangle.
Why not?
Love triumvirate.
Because who isn't in love with Doc Yule? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Awesome. Well, we really appreciate your time this morning. We really do. We really appreciate you on the show. It's been fun, as I said, to watch, even though your entire band got wasted. And I know that you've mentioned that you got some things coming up, which are awesome. And I want to ask you a bunch of questions about that, but we're kind of out of time for today. Mm-hmm. But what do you have coming up?
Before I forget, let me thank you guys. It's been going back and forth on Twitter. It's been really fun, and I've really enjoyed listening to your podcast along the way. So thank you. I'm in the middle of shooting, this week, I'm in the middle of shooting season 2 of 12 Monkeys. And a few months ago, I was a guest star on an episode of The Expanse, which I am super psyched about. And I'm pretty sure all three sci-fi shows, and I'm pretty sure that The Expanse premieres in December. And the latest trailer that they released, I think during Comic-Con, the latest trailer, if you take a look at that, you can see B.B. Beckman somewhere in there.
Nice. We're looking forward to that. I know, as you know, sci-fi and space and stuff has kind of had a dearth since BSG. It's coming back, and The Expanse caught on my radar right away, so I'm really looking forward to that. And 12 Monkeys, wow, that was, season one was unexpectedly phenomenal, so I can't wait till season two, too.
Yeah,
so.
I did not expect to like that show at all, and it turned out to be really well done. So
awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to more of that.
And now that you're on, it'd be great.
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
But maybe you can come back to Defiance. You know, it's sci-fi.
Nobody's truly dead.
Exactly. Real quick, we're going to look at the chat here for a second. We have a hashtag for Save Billy. See, you're already one of that. That's awesome.
Didn't we have one of those in BSG? Save Billy?
Yeah, that's right.
Billy's, if your name is Billy in sci-fi, it's bad.
Yeah, a special shout out to the people on Twitter that have been so much fun. And so kind and so supportive. I just really grateful. Thank you.
So thank you very much. And we look forward to seeing you in your next appearances as well as on season four of Defiance, because we know, of course, that you'll be back.
Hell yeah. CCBB, not a red shirt.
Not at all. Been redeemed.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, Billy. Wow. Awesome interview as always. It's great to talk to Billy. I know he'll be listening to this later. So thank you very much, Billy. We really appreciate you coming on, and you are always welcome back, sir. So just hit us up and we will get you on.
Oh man. What a, awesome. How amazingly graceful with his time and didn't mind when we gave him a bunch of crap, you know?
Right. I mean, okay. So by what he just told us, he is actively working another series and yet took time out to interact with the Defiance fans.
Yeah,
that's how much he likes the show.
That's super cool. Yeah. I mean, you don't really, because a lot of times it's very easy to go, okay, well, I'm done with that. Obviously, that period of my career has ended and let's just move on, and didn't do that.
Well, you know what I find awesome, because I'm the one that's mainly interacting with him on Twitter. The way we go back and forth, he's so gracious with his time, but he's so funny with the comments that he makes. But he left Voices of Defiance a great behind-the-scenes YouTube video yesterday of them doing his makeup in the makeup chair. That was an awesome thing to watch, to see that experience.
To top that off, he gave Shannon a Jamie story, which you can never go wrong giving Shannon a Jamie story.
I know it. That was awesome. Thank you.
And it's like, I know.
The hashtags have already started on Twitter. Daz pointed out hashtag not a red shirt.
Not a red shirt.
Bring him back, Kevin. Bring him back.
We'll take him as an alien if you want. That's fine. You know,
or he was an alien.
Secret lover.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. The actual indigent before he went through the little transformation. That'd be cool.
I would like to be Nicole's before lover. You could paint me purple. I'm fine with that. If I got to snuggle with Nicole, that I would be good with that.
You know what? I think I want to be a bounty hunter that goes after Berlin, because I'm still mad at her.
That is a bit depressing, isn't it? Because it's like you got this awesome character that we all love, and here comes Anna Banana for the third season, and she wusses out? That doesn't even make any sense. That's, I don't know. Well, for me, that was a little
you know what? There's got to be a story there, because it's not part of her character. She hasn't she hasn't done that kind of crap before. So I think she's coming back, and I think she's going to have a reason.
Right. So I was thinking about this in that she was lonely when she got to Defiance. She tried a relationship with Nolan and didn't work. She was in a very loving relationship, really, with Tommy, because you got to admit that the character Tommy is amazing. So she was in a great relationship, but her heart was always with Von Bock. And I think she found herself, this is the only explanation I can come up with, is that she found herself that she could go back to that life that she wanted originally, and she decided to do that. But it's not Berlin's character, especially in the middle of that speech, just turn around and go. So yeah, I agree. I hope to see her back again. And if that was her character's out, for whatever reason, it was not.
Dude, real quick, speaking of red shirts who should not be a red shirt, please bring Tommy back. That would be great.
We can't bring Tommy back.
Well, they only brought him back to kill him again.
I know, it was horrible. He died in
a horrible fashion.
Horrible death.
I don't want to see him die again.
They just have to kill him again if they bring him back. I mean, I love Duchesne as much as anybody else.
Better dreams.
No.
The episode that Tommy left was an amazing episode. You got to see all of his backstory. I don't know if there's much more story to tell there in his background. There really isn't.
He was just a solid dude. And I even thought he was going to turn evil and all like Lex Luthor. And
he was
and
the most solid person in the town.
He was too good to live in the town of Defiance.
I got to say, props to Kevin Murphy, props to the writers, because, you know, normally we can call out, oh, this person's going to be evil or this person's going to. They have mixed it up so much. It's so well done that they have befuddled us at every corner.
Oh. Who's next?
Let's just watch the episode. And talking about people that watch the episode, I have some news on some ratings. So this will go back all the way to July 3rd. We got live plus 7 day ratings on that episode, which was kind of meh.
Eight when listeners.
It was also holiday weekend.
Right. It's July 3rd. The big holiday in America is July 4th. The holiday in Canada is July 1st. So it's a long holiday weekend on both. And it came through with a 70% increase with a total ratings of 2.176, mm-hmm. which is really good, I think, for that week. So that's pretty cool.
Considering, yeah. That was awesome. Yeah. They need that all the time. That's going
to
be great.
And then I didn't have time to pull these last week, but I'm going to talk about them. On July 10th, the L plus 3 or Live plus 3 day ratings of Defiance. And this is against total viewership. It was originally 1.06 million. It went up to 1.7 million, and that is a 65% increase. And I'm guessing it'll be hovering around 2.5 when the Live plus 7 day ratings come in. So that was pretty good. And then finally, last week's episode on July 17th, The Beauty of Our Weapons, the Live plus 3 day ratings, it came in at, and I'll have to caveat this, this is not total ratings. This is adults 18 through 49. So the total ratings are more than this. So, but the adults 18 through 49 live was 287,000. And then the plus 3 was 580,000. So if you figure that's a portion, it's supposed to be the prime portion, but it's a portion, it should also be in the 1.5 to 2 million as well. And that, by the way, is 102% increase. So a lot of people going out on Friday night, a lot of people listening and watching to the episode later. And then, of course, tuning into Voices of Defiance, because we get like 3 million downloads a week. It's crazy.
Great. That's awesome.
More than the actual show.
There you go.
Now, it's mostly Shannon just re-downloading 99% of it, but you know what?
Actually,
it's okay.
I have a secret.
And your mom.
I don't really...
Shannon has never listened to one of our shows.
I've listened to a few, but I don't like the sound of my voice, so I don't listen to them.
Really? Because I find the sound of your voice calming. And the sound of your snoring calming as well.
There could be a reason for that.
I find it very calming. If she's like sitting there snoring and everything like that, I can just like sit there and listen to it for a while and be like, oh, I'm home.
I
and
may tell everyone sleep. About it, but I'm not. That download is not coming from me.
That download is not for me. Twitter, on the other hand.
Twitter is all mine. Yes. I'm all about the Twitter for both of us. So, yeah.
So moving on into this episode, do you know who wrote it? Did you see? Did you notice?
I don't notice these things. Honestly, I look for the story and then find ways I can work poop into my jokes. That's about it.
Or log.
Yeah. Yeah.
Log.
So you have to take a guess, Shannon. Who do you think wrote it? Don't look it up. Just guess.
A brother of Turd Ferguson.
See, now if you had the shared doc open, which
Jamie
you don't.
Murray.
No. Although.
That would have been her guess. That's her guess for everything.
That's okay. My answer.
Jane Espenson.
It was Kevin Murphy. So, Kevin Murphy wrote Billy out of the show, and Lee, and the rest of the army.
I think this, by
Kevin!
Far, was the best episode this season.
It definitely was. I'm sorry. I've watched all of Defiance, and I can categorically say, other than the thought of making out with Linda Hamilton, which Jesse, damn you, put in my head last week, like...
Kissing everybody on the mouth.
Really? That can happen? Like, all I have to do is quit my job, become an actor, go to Canada, and I can get snogged by Linda Hamilton, which has been a lifelong dream? Hell yeah. That's totally what I'm going to do.
You can't have it.
I will find a way to make that happen. I didn't even know that was... It's sort of like when Lyle Lovett married Julia Roberts and went, I didn't know I was in the running. Who knew?
So, Kevin, I hope that Kevin actually listens to us from time to time, or somebody tells him. So, Kevin, if you hear this, please let us know. And you're going to have to let us know ahead of time, because Sean needs a passport. Sean does not have a passport. And no, we're not starting the whole passport thing again for those of you in the know there. But so about 6 months in advance, we're going to have to know for Sean to be on the set, probably with Pilar if she's still around, which I think she is.
I need to have Linda Hamilton kiss me on the mouth.
Dude, if you go to the set, I'm going with you.
All you do is stand there, follow Jamie around, and go, hi.
No, there'd be none words.
She'd just be, fuck all. Where did I pick up this stalker? That's what you get. She'd be like, security.
It's okay. I know these guys. I know about the security. It's okay. I got it.
Yeah.
Stalk her. I could be. There would be no words.
There would definitely be no words if you were around. But then again, I'd be off. If Nicole
nest
or Linda was in there, I'd be all like, hey, what's up?
I'd be like, you nah, me nah.
You no. You nah, me nah.
You go that way. I go this way.
Yeah, because I don't think I'd just have to hang with Nicole or Linda Hamilton. But the fact that Jesse was like, oh, that's just how it is. She meets the guys and she kisses the guys and she moves on. I love that.
And we didn't even approach the fact that she was kissing her son on the mouth.
I don't care if it was Linda Hamilton. I'd be fine with that. I really don't care.
Because her son, Justin, and her son-in-law, Jesse, she was kissing both of them. But
Jesse's anyway. Just a lucky man. That's all I'm saying. I mean, he hangs out with the likes of Grant Bowler and Graham Greene or Tony. And then he goes and he kisses Linda Hamilton. And he kisses... and his mom kisses exactly. Jamie kisses him. And... Nicole kisses him, and Munoz, not Nunez.
I get it.
But you don't know. You don't know. Yeah, you don't they know. Might have a thing.
All I can say is, Jesse, you have been favored.
You are a lucky bastard, sir.
I think I got a meme like that. You've been favored.
CCBB has a cold gun, and Jesse gets to sit in a pool with Jamie Murray.
Right. He's met George Lucas. He's met William Shatner.
That is a charmed man.
He's met Patrick Stewart.
Jean-Luc Picard.
Number one.
So anyway, this episode was written by Kevin Murphy. Sir, you did a phenomenal job. Really appreciate that. And Marzi.
But
Almas, the director, was great.
The best thing, there are two best things about this particular episode. One of them, Doc Yule's like, well, actually, there is a way. It's very simple. You know, why? And she's like, well, they parked it right by a big bomb. So, you know, technically speaking, you could just put this in somebody's forearm and here you go, kids. Here's your way out. But there's a catch. You know, I'm like, this is classic Doc Yule, you know, like in just a snarky way.
Sticker for you, cowboy.
I've got something here. Doc Yule, you know how she was leaving Defiance and everything at the beginning of the season and that Berlin and Amanda got her to say, which again, the whole Berlin thing leaving and that going back to that scene doesn't make sense. But anyway, so Doc Yule decides to say, you know why she decided to stay? Because she gets to do all sorts of crazy science and blow crap up with huge ass bombs. I mean, that's a scientist's dream there,
If that's not horseplay, I don't know what is. But
she gets the best line.
She gets the best sticker for you, cowboy. I mean, just.
What was the one she said to Amanda? Come see me after class.
Yeah.
And you know she's like, oh, the braid. It's the braid.
I have so... It's just so cool how flirty she is with Amanda. And Amanda doesn't know what to do with it. She just looks at her like...
She blinks at her like...
I don't know where to go from here.
I took your skin, but okay.
But it's just so freaking great. But all of that is overshadowed by Tony and Daytac cutting his arm off in the middle of the camp.
That was, and it was flopping around as he's doing. Yeah, you know, I got to hand it to Daytac. He knew that this was his only way out, right? He's going to go do this to fix the shame on his family, right, for his son and grandson. He's saving his son and grandson. He doesn't know where his wife is, might need saving, might not. He doesn't know. So he is doing this. Of course, he has an affinity to Defiance as well, but he's doing this for his family. So he goes out and he's thinking, okay, what is the one thing that I can do? They put it in my arm. I have, you know, I had no choice of where they put it. So, well, in order to do this, I need to cut off my arm and then run like heck. So it was a minute, like when he left the tent, it was a minute left and he had to run, what, a couple miles down that road or whatever?
Laughing hysterically.
Without an arm.
Without an arm, yeah. In excruciating pain. He probably wasn't even lying about
Let's
that.
Let's wait. He didn't need it.
It was just, it was amazing to do. And he put that whole thing together. He was going to go out there and die, but he's, of course, he's Daytac. So he's looking for a way out of that. And, like, saw his charge blade and go, oh, yeah, well, I could just cut my arm off. There's the solution.
And he wanted the blade back because remember the other promise that he gave to his dad, which was him, but which was amazing, Tony playing his dad. But the promise was to give the charge blade to his son. So he needed that charge blade back in order to keep that promise.
I don't know. It was just that whole thing was so well done. And you see why the charge blade's important. You see why. I mean, it always has been. It's always been Daytac's weapon. I mean, that's
you also see where he's always had that kind of temper, and his father was trying to, you know, to taper it, trying to calm him down to teach him honor and humility. And it, so I think finally he's seeing it. He's seeing what he needs to do, and I think that was cool.
Well, it took his entire life to figure out what his father was talking about, really.
And oh my God, the amount of Castathan that Tony had to speak in this episode was amazing.
I know. This might have been one of the things that Jesse was talking about last week when he had to calm Tony down. Yeah. But getting back to the whole hand thing where his father sliced his hand, that was his left hand. So he cut off his left hand, which his dad had impaled with the charge blade. I mean, there is a lot of symbolicism.
Symbolism.
Okay. You're doing it to me now? Really? You?
It's from Boondock Saints, man.
Oh. I need to watch that again.
What's the symbology behind that? Symbolism. I see we have an heir to Greenlee's bonehead crown. You know, it's from Boondock Saints. A movie that Shannon is looking at me like, I've never seen this. I don't know what you're talking about. It doesn't make... Look,
for
those of you who haven't seen it, Boondock Saints, it's an amazing movie.
And then if you want to hear some guys talk about it that are really cool, go look up the Legends podcast feed. They did a podcast on Boondock Saints, and it was amazing. As always. Okay, so your girl, Shannon, went into space. We saw more of the ship.
She wasn't really kind of in space.
Shannon and I had an argument about this when last week. She goes, She's in space! She's in space!
But like, then we thought,
she's
then
not
we
in space,
think
Shannon.
About
think about it. It's not. It's got to be a VR type of thing or anything. Shannon's like, no, she's in space! I know they're going to space!
You know what I liked about a couple things, more than just Jamie, but what I liked about Jamie, Stama came back in this episode, where she no longer did the little...
Meek cast.
Geisha.
Well,
you know, like, Tevkin, I'm sorry.
Tevkin called her on it, and then she called him on it back.
That was great.
So, yeah.
That was great.
It's like a false casty
modesty or something.
Modesty or something that does not suit you. And then she took that and ran.
I love
with
how
it.
She just turns it off. You know, like
humility.
Yeah.
False humility.
If she just turns it off, she's like, all right, fine. You want to call me on it? That's fine. This is who I really am. And you get to see how, first of all, strong she is, and second of all, how calculating she can be very quickly. And she's like, look, you're going to have to stop your daughter, because if you meant what you just said,
and you want to be a part of this,
she will have to be stopped. And of course, he didn't want to hear it, and he's threatening her and everything like that. And she's just like, look, I'm telling you how it is. So it was super cool.
I'm so happy that she's no longer the scared little Castathan running around a ship, because that was just an odd thing to watch Stama B.
I don't know, because Kinsey is scary.
She is scary. See a sleeper pod in her future.
And she can, I hope not. I hope that girl runs around, you know, just wiggling her purple self and scaring people all over everywhere, because she's amazing. But the truth of it is, how scary do you have to be to terrify Stama? Because right. She's seen a lot. She's airlocked people.
She's done a lot.
She's killed people in cold blood. She's killed people with poison. She's manipulated people. This is a very scary, competent person. She beat the crap out of Amanda in her own office and then left her alive. I mean, this is a capable woman, and Kinsey terrifies her.
Right.
So, I mean, how bad do you have to be?
But I think what happened when she was on the ship, there might have been a little terrifying in Stama, but I think it was more along the lines of she was playing this subservient Casty to Kinsey, because she can't play her the same way that she can play Tevkin.
I think
it's an act. Only if Kinsey wanted it.
Well, she's good at playing Tevkin's flute. I mean, that's entirely true, but I mean...
Right. So if you're Tevkin, give him Stama and give him pancakes with fruit, and then you're good. If he asks for pancakes, you give the man pancakes.
Yep.
Who knew that that's all it would take to get Stama? It's like, here's some pancakes and a purple spear, and we're fine after that. I mean, that's all she really needed. Someone cook her breakfast, and you're good. Who knew? It's the little things, apparently.
It's the little things.
Apparently. Do you guys have anything else that you want to say specifically about the episode? We're running a little long today.
Well, yeah, I just want to make mention that Sean didn't notice. Hopefully you saw it, but did you see the extra scene where you, not the extra scene, but the part that Trina actually played in this episode where she was not dressed up as Doc Yule?
I did not know that was her. And I've seen pictures of her. I did not know that was her. I really didn't.
That was.
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
I've watched her in other things and I can pick her out. Yeah, I knew that was her. That was good.
Completely escaped me.
So, important things that I thought about this episode. One, I didn't expect Ramtok to die this episode.
You might want to tell people who it actually was, babe. Or what scene that was. If they didn't see it and they missed it like I did, she was the mother protecting her children that Tevkin saved.
Yeah.
And I did not. This is how good it is. I didn't even recognize her voice. That's how good she is. Just saying. She's amazing.
That scene, I didn't expect Ramtok to die in this particular episode, so I didn't see that coming.
And Daytac did kill him, which we predicted. Daytac
killed him, which we predicted. But Stephanie character, Arissa, came back in this episode. You got to see
Little Wolf
came back.
Yeah, it wasn't Arissa, it was Little Wolf.
Things got a little stabby, but she got back. And that was
great. I'm comfortable with the story arc they've taken her on at the moment. Because I was honestly a little iffy on it. I might not have said anything, but I'm like, she's been through a lot, but really, and now she didn't come back on her own. She was forced into it. She was forced into it by the Needwant massacre, and she was forced into it by
saving her father.
And I might add that Jesse, I got to do this to you, man. You were saved again by a woman.
It's true.
I'm telling you, there's something.
The dude is just charmed, both in character and in real life. He's just charmed.
There's something there because the interaction this season, just in the past couple episodes, between Arissa and
Alex.
You think
he's going to get snuggly with Little Wolf?
Yes.
He better.
Yeah, I do. Because she's been infatuated with him since the pilot. She really has.
Not
and
Adina?
No, okay. So let's talk about Adina for a second, right? So the casty girl/woman that was running around with Daytac Tar's guys, was that Adina? It looked like Adina to me. And then, remember, there was two different gunshots going on at the same time, and they separated? We never saw the second gunshot gunman. So that could have been Adina, and they just didn't show it. I swear that there was a couple of scenes, like right before the Needwant massacre, and then right before they started shooting up this town, there was a casty woman. I swear that
was
Adina.
There was a casty woman that was with the Arathian guy watching the party go by. But I don't think it's Adina. I don't think she has that big of a role.
Does anybody else still think Zero's dad set the party up, and that's why he didn't want his son to go?
You know,
from the moment we met him, I think
he's one of the spies too.
Yeah, if that was the honest to goodness truth, he wouldn't have let his son go down there. He would not have. He would have taken him aside and said, look, you will die if you do that or whatever. He didn't. He let
that's
him
a good
go.
Point.
Yeah. All right. I'll give you that.
Okay.
I'm reserving judgment, but I'll give you that.
But at the end of the day, we have Little Wolf back.
Right, so back to Little Wolf and Alak at the end, where Little Wolf or Arissa, whatever you want to call her, is there with Alak. Alak thinks his dad died, and so
the town thinks his dad died.
Right, so she's there comforting him, and the two of them have been through so much crap. Maybe not together, but they've been through so much similar crap. I think they make a good couple. I really do.
It was so sad because when he puts his hand back on her, it zooms in. You can see he's still wearing his wedding ring. And
yeah, that's kind of skeevy.
I don't know about that. I mean, they're both. I mean, even if you're a wrestler, you're like, oh yeah, Christy. I miss Christy too.
No, I mean to be snuggling with. I mean. I could see snuggling with Kinsey because, you know.
All right, Sean, I'm going to throw this at you. You have a tattoo on your body of something that no longer exists. So is it creepy if you snuggle with somebody with that tattoo on?
I'm not seeing the connection, but I don't think it's creepy if I snuggle with anybody. So I just take whatever snuggles I can get at any time.
Well, wait a minute. I offered to give you a bath a few seasons ago, and you said no. So you thought that was creepy.
What?
What? You offered to give him a bath?
Yeah. This was like when we first
season one. Do I need to step out of this room? Because
no,
by all means.
because we were talking about the it's on the podcast. Listen to the podcast.
Like, I don't listen to podcasts or shows. If it doesn't have Jamie Murray, Shannon is interested. No.
As long as I'm not talking to
Jamie Murray or Haley Atwell. Because she's a huge Haley Atwell fan now, too. Didn't you say...
We don't have time for this.
Didn't you say the other day... No. I'm going to call you out on it. Didn't you say that Haley Atwell was now your number one?
Ooh.
Didn't you say that, Miss O'Hara? Huh?
See, while Haley Atwell is awesome, I will put Chloe Bennett right up there.
Chloe's awesome, too.
And neither are my number one, but I would put both of those. You can't call me out
because we've had this conversation, and my number one fluctuates. It depends on what I'm looking at.
You are so trying to weasel out of that.
She's turned into a beef.
I've got a top three.
Yes, but a top three would indicate that there is a first position.
There is. And at the moment, Haley's in it.
See? That's all I'm saying.
But
Jamie, you need to come on the podcast to establish your firm number one over Haley Atwell. Just saying.
Oh, Shannon, would be the mute cast because Shannon wouldn't be able to speak.
And Haley, if you are listening to this, please join us on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And we will have Shannon on as a guest host, and you guys can talk about it then, too.
Sitting here.
Yeah, you'll have an open mic. That's all it'll be.
I'm telling you, my number one fluctuates. I have two number ones.
See, I have no problem with having number ones, because none of the number ones I have would ever be on any show that I'm on. So it doesn't
I'll
matter.
I'll never have either one of them either. But
you don't know. Jamie is at least in range because she is on a show that you listen to and do a cast about. I'm just saying,
for the final, I have two number ones.
Oh, you are so weaseling out of that.
I can't decide.
I can't decide. See, mine are easy because it's like Kate Mara, Anna Kendrick, you know, Nicole. I mean, she is now in my top three, by the way. It's just... It's really easy, but like two of the three, and I already talked to the third one, so it's like, how hard is that? So I'm not going to make the joke, by the way. I'm not going to go to the how hard am I, but there's still Anna Kendrick and Kate Mara. I'll never talk to them, so it doesn't matter. It's easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same way. Emily Van Camp as Agent 13 is definitely my number one, but I also, Emily Beck Rickard over on Arrow is also.
You do as two Felicity. Shows that you do. Those are both in range, exactly. Man.
Well, and if either want to come on and talk, I'll be glad
to have
them.
Yeah, because they totally listen to VOD.
Right.
Yeah. Well, why not? 3 million people do. I'm sure some actors and actresses in the
Twitter
industry do.
Twitter chat them up, man. Shannon does it all the time.
Not to Jamie.
Got it.
Yes, you do. You send all kinds of stuff to Jamie.
But I don't ask
you
on VOD, though.
All right. Anything else on the episode, guys?
Well, we weren't going to do any show points. We were just bantering.
All right. So we have some feedback to go through. But before we get to it, I just want to say that we are part of a network, the GunnaGeek.com podcast network. There's a plethora of podcasts on the network, a couple dozen, and a ton of blog articles every week. So go check it out. And one in particular to go check out would be Unqualified Gamers. They are unqualified, but they talk about gaming, which they will be at Gen Con this weekend. So have fun, boys. So episode 104, they talk about the real Twitter verified Cody Ga. Yes, he is Twitter verified, and we are struggling to wonder why he is verified and the rest of us aren't. So Twitter, get on that. We all want verification on the Gunna Geek Network. But in this particular show, episode 104, the one and only Cody Ga comes on the Gunna Geek podcast to discuss the crazy San Diego Comic-Con DC updates, trailers, and plus Nightwing, another host on the network who runs Legends. But yeah, Wing! We love Wing. And then after that, we get to go know Cody through another episode of Know Your Geek. So that is the Gunna Geek podcast, episode number 104 on the Gunna Geek Network.
I always like the unqualified gamer title, you know, because you could do that about anything. I'm an unqualified brain surgeon.
They actually have unqualified. They own a lot of domains, unqualified podcasts, unqualified this, that. So Cody's awesome on that. He saw something and he ran with it and he's going to make $1 billion.
1 billion pesos.
Billions and billions and billions.
So we got some feedback and it starts with a voicemail. Are you guys ready to hear it?
Yes.
What's up?
Hey, Shannon and men. Cookie again. Holy crap. So that happened. I never thought I'd say this, but I love Daytac. He was so badass this episode. and Alec, the two characters I was met about last season, are rocking at this time. Arisa isn't quite the old Arisa yet, but she's getting better, and that's really, really, really good to see. The line of the ep, hands down, was Doc Yule telling Amanda to see her after class. Okay, so I can't wait to hear what you guys say again. Bye!
So cute.
Some guy. Sean, we're just some guys.
Well, look, I've been some guy before. I'm pretty comfortable with that.
He's used to it.
Thank you. Thank you, Defy Down Under, for sending that. We really appreciate that.
Shannon's all squealing out. She's like, hee hee hee. Her voice is sexy.
I told her that. She's like, sexy. No, shut up. It is. But we got number two.
Hey, guys. It's Sophie, also known as Arisa Wi-Fi. I'm calling in for a couple of reasons today. First off, your last podcast with Jesse Rath was stellar. Really one of my top favorites. It had me crying tears of laughter. It was a really great job overall. Next, I wanted to say that I'm super excited about tomorrow's podcast with Billy McClellan. I was a big fan of BB, and I was really sad to see him go. Therefore, this is an official request to Kevin Murphy and the Defiance writers, if they're listening. Please bring Billy back. It would be so easy. If you think about it, BB was a clone of a human, so all we need is to have Billy come back to Defiance as the real human Christopher Beckman. See, it was so simple. So while we may hate BB for his death and his mayhem, anyone who wants Billy back on the show, tweet the hashtag SaveBilly and tag all the VIPs of Defiance. Let them know we want Billy back. Love you guys. I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this week's amazing episode. Oh my God, just blew me away. And of course, your interview with Pizza Face himself, Billy McClellan. Okay, guys, I'll see you on Twitter. See ya. Bye.
Oh my gosh, she is so sweet. I forgot how sweet she is.
Pizza Face. We should have her back on.
Pizza Face. Yeah, we might have an opening.
So all right,
yeah,
Kevin. Well, it's official now. If Arisa Wi-Fi wants you to put Billy back on, you better put Billy back on because she says nice things about us. So we're all in her camp.
And we already discussed the ways in which it can happen. I think we're all good.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you, Arisa.
So cute.
Shannon just wiggles. She's like, so cute.
Definitely.
Quote. We got Facebook feedback. So what do we got?
Yeah, we do. Christopher Kowalski said, okay, this episode had everything. Only low point for me was the whole militia being torched. Mitigating factor was that it gave BB an even bigger ending.
Yes.
My favorite was the crowd reaction shot of Daytac cutting his arm off. I didn't try to subtitle it, but did Daytac really yell, that's some real gangster?
Yes,
he did. He did, and it was on the closed captions, too. I heard it, and I saw it, and I was like, I can't believe that made it through the censors, but it did. I hope Sci-Fi does not get fined. Okay. I just hope the rest of the season can come close to this episode. According to both Nicole and Jesse and Billy, who seems to be in the know after the fact, the rest of the season just gets better, so I can't wait. It's going to be good. I think next week will be the last setup episode for the end of the season, so might slow down just a little bit, but after the amazing, not one, not two, but three explosions we've had this season, and okay, so we can talk about the explosions later, but CGI was amazing. The CGI of Casty was amazing, this which was Krypton to me, but it was still amazing. The CGI of the explosion at the stasis net was amazing, and the CGI of Daytac cutting his arm off was amazing. Unless that was really Tony cutting his arm off. Do you think he cut his arm off? Do you think he did
that? I hope he did.
For Defiance? Yeah.
That's serious chops, man. No, I'm hoping, okay, bets, we got a quarter. Does he get his arm back this season or not?
Well, not his original arm, because that was plasma.
Well, obviously, but does he get like an indigen replacement? What is he? Does he get his arm back this season? Quarterbets, SP?
Yule likes him very much. Yes. So, yeah, I would say if it's possible, Yule will make it happen.
So, crap, we're all agreed then. I was really hoping
not
somebody
really
was going to...
bet now,
well,
it?
See, okay. I will disagree on the basis that I don't think it's possible for him to get the arm back. He's not an indigent. He's a Casty. I don't think he can regrow that crap.
See,
back.
I think with the combination of weird Omec technology, Doc Yule, and some of the stuff that we got going on here, I think he will be a two-armed man. He will no longer be the fugitive. He will be the two-armed man before season three ends.
Will it be in place of his left arm, or will it be like coming out of his head or something?
No, it'll be in place of his left arm. He will be normal, okay. Appearing again, sort of like Doc Yule, like magically redid her finger. I think they will find a magic technological solution to graft or grow or something an arm back on Daytac.
Doc would know how to do that.
I think that's what will happen.
Here, have a piece of my skin.
Yeah, have a piece of me. I'm in love with side braid, but have a piece of me.
Check it for lumps.
Check it for lumps. I don't even know why that's funny. It just is. Espy doesn't even know where to go with it. He's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So Christopher also sent us a message last week that I wasn't able to get to. It said, outside chances, but I'm thinking of the possibility of a large VC contingent showing up to rein in the beast. And sadly, I don't think Stalma was really into the idea of being an otter rancher, which brings us back to the question, what would Daytac have wound up like without Stalma nudging him along? Yeah, I would agree. And yeah, the VC is still out there. I was thinking that down ship up in Edmonton is still up there. So there's still things going on in the world.
Well, we know that the VC is still out there because his wife came back, was sent by the rest of the VC to bring him back into heel.
Right. And he was just a splinter contingent. Right.
Which, so we know it's still out
which
there.
I think the VC are probably on their way.
I don't think they are, because their whole thing was just leave him alone.
They've been decimated.
Yeah,
too,
I think they're in kind of a rebuilding phase, if that's possible. So I don't think they're on the warpath anymore. And I also think that the stuff we saw yesterday with like a beast tearing up the town and this must be stopped and all that kind of stuff, I think that's Kinsey.
Oh. Mm, yeah. I didn't think of that.
I think that's Kinsey.
Well,
she has some anger issues.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. I was thinking you said Kenya, who was mentioned in the in the episode.
You
just want to point
Kenya
that
on
out.
The brain, man.
Well, who doesn't? I mean,
after seeing Kinsey, I don't. Kenya, who?
Yeah. There's too much licking and stabbing going on this season.
And if Amanda was smart, she'd be snuggling up with Doc Yule.
Right. Okay. So we also had an email from Salty Seaman. And you know Salty.
I do.
Sean, you do. He says, okay, hi, Stargate Pioneer. I have been listening to the Voices of Defiance podcast for a couple of seasons now. Yourself, Shannon, and Sean do a wonderful job in dissecting and discussing each aspect of the show. There have been many a time when I've watched an episode and thought one thing, only to listen to the podcast and think, dang, I never thought of that. The interviews this season have been so interesting, insightful, and fun. Last season, I worried that Defiance would be canceled, but this season has been utterly brilliant. Having just finished watching My Name is Daytac Tar, and I Have Come to Kill You, wow, holy shiitake, wow. Tony Curran is just phenomenal in this episode. To be finally able to see through flashbacks of Daytac Tar's troubled childhood in his Cassiothan upbringing and hear so much of the Cassiothan dialogue was sumptuous. What Daytac does next in Ramtok's tent is Daytac's willingness to do whatever it takes to achieve his goals for his family, his honor, for Daytac and Stalma's full pardon, and for Defiance. Holy shiitake, he cuts off his arm! The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Or, in this case, minus an arm, a chance for life. General Ramtok, who's played by Lee Turgeson, has been wonderful. Yes, he has. How could you not love such a ruthless and arrogant leader with a deranged, psychotic ego? His final words, not oh shiitake, oh as soon as it was over, I watched it immediately again. Sorry if I've gone on, but this was one of the best so far, yet I have left so much out. Thanks for putting on a great podcast. The three of you have a great dynamic and knowledge for Defiance. Looking forward to the next cast. Cheers, Salty. Thank you very much, Salty. Really
solid
appreciate
man,
that.
Salty is.
Yes, he is. And one of the reasons I want to point out that this podcast works so great is I am in my home, states away from those two in the same room. So.
With the red duct tape. That does not work.
That does not work.
Well, it doesn't work for its original intent. I'm sure it's been used for other purposes.
We have other colors for that.
Yes. On Twitter, Trina Keaton did, in fact, she didn't tweet it to us, but she did tweet out that picture that I stated before of her sitting on a couch. And it looked like in the need want, by the way, in one of those red plush chairs with Billy. Yeah. So it was fun while it lasted. Like I say to all men, well, BB, it was fun while it lasted. So, yep, it was. And then Billy tweeted, and again, he mentioned before, catch him on season 2 of 12 Monkeys, which if you haven't checked out 12 Monkeys, you need to get the first season in. It was, like I said, unexpectedly amazing. Deals with an apocalyptic society and time travel. I was captivated by it. I didn't think I was. It was going to be a show that I just put on in the background. I actually watched every episode and The Expanse coming up too. And so just to be clear here, Billy tweeted and he said, quote, "Red Shirt, a stock character in fiction who dies soon after being introduced. If Taylor Swift can apologize, so can he." And the he here being the Reverend Sean O'Hare.
Which I stated he was by definition and storyline not a red shirt. CCBB is not a red shirt. He is a valued and interesting plot mover, and I enjoyed the hell out of his entire time this season three. And Billy's a great guy. So it's that whole arc was just great.
Save
you know, I could definitely see him in a role like, I mean, I know he said he auditioned for Daytac's role, but I could see him in a role like James Callis was in BSG.
He's got that vibe, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he really does.
He does.
And I was surprised to hear how strong his accent was too, because I mean, you could definitely tell he was from Canarnia. Billy, that's what we call it's an inside joke that we've all called Canada Canarnia for a long time. It's all the snow.
Yeah,
up there, up north, don't you know? Hey.
It's something I think he could do because he's got that kind of sense of humor and that delivery. It would just work, I think, with somebody like that. He plays a great bad guy. He really does.
He does. I could see him playing a great good guy, too.
Yeah, but I wouldn't
want to touch.
I think I would enjoy him more as a bad guy because I think he could play more because bad guys get to be ridiculous, and I think you could do that.
Right. I've seen a couple of things that he's done, and he does have a breadth of acting range. I expect to see him around. Matter of fact, I would love for him to get a lead on one of the new sci-fi shows coming up in the next couple of years. I would watch the crap out of that. I really would.
Personally, I'm sorry he's not on some of the shows that we're enjoying now. And honestly, it is the strongest lineup they've had in a long time with Defiance and then Killjoys and then Dark Matter. I know I'm getting off topic. We don't have any time because we're way over. But did you see this week's episode of Dark Matter?
No, I have. I was trying to install the new mixer, and so no, I didn't, and I can't wait.
This week's episode of Killjoys was amazing, but Dark Matter really struck me that this is the first show. This is the first episode of Dark Matter I really bought in. It was amazing.
Good. I'm glad, because that's my favorite, as you know, out of the two. I mean, they're both, all three shows are good.
I prefer Killjoys, but this episode of Dark Matter was probably the best I've seen.
All right. I'll catch up, and we'll talk about it next week a little bit. Okay. All right. Do you guys have anything else for the hordes of fans, the 3 million downloads?
Millions of downloads. Yeah, no, I think that's it.
Carl Sagan.
No, it's billions. Yeah, I think we've covered it. But no, it was just great. And thank you to Billy for hanging out with us. It was great.
Yeah, thank you very much. So next time we'll be talking episode 9, Ostianto in White. Not quite sure what that is, but we'll find out. And thank you very much for everybody that has gone in the chat room. We really appreciate that. Suncast, Guest 55, everybody really appreciate it. We do read it as we go along. But as Billy said at the very beginning, multitasking is not exactly our forte. So sorry, we're not as interactive as we might be. I've got some tech issues in front of me and stuff.
I'm
so
interactive.
Shannon is nothing if not multitasking.
If you want to make her crotch glow red, go ahead and tweet her
during have me
the podcast.
That's only gonna happen if we get Jamie.
Okay, so thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for all the tweets that we get. Thank you for all the feedback. Hey, if you want to leave a voicemail line or voicemail and can dial us, go ahead, 612-888-ARC-1, 612-888-2751. If you can't get that because it's an international call, go ahead, email me an MP3 of your file, just like DeFi's been doing the last couple of weeks. Sexy voice. Please send another one in, please. Really,
yeah,
makes
I don't care
my day.
She reads the phone book. She's sexy as hell.
I know. Go ahead. We won't. If you want to read the phone book, we won't play that on the cast. That'll just be for me and Sean. Okay. So go ahead and give me a email with that MP3 file, StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com. That would be great. We've got Twitter, Facebook, and forums at GunnaGeek.com. So you can go ahead and catch us there. So thank you. And again, to everybody, we really appreciate you listening, downloading podcasts, giving us feedback. Thank you for all the great reviews on iTunes, too. Really appreciate that. And so as I do every week, I'm going to sign out and give it over to Sean and God help us on what he says. So for this week, I'm signing out. This is Stargate Pioneer.
This is Sean saying sticker for you, cowboy.
This is Shannon. Bye. That's a great line.
See, I didn't say anything about my dick the entire time. It was great.
Why would you talk about your dick?
Because I always do.
Strange one.
Thanks for listening to Voices of Defiance. If you want to get in touch with us, you can catch us on Twitter at VoicesOdefiance. Email us at feedback@voicesofdefiance.com. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/voicesofdefiance. Swing by our website, www.voicesofdefiance.com, or send us a voicemail on area code 612-888-ARC-1. That's 612-888-2751. This podcast is not affiliated with Sci-Fi, the television show Defiance, or the Trion video game Defiance. Music titled After the Apocalypse by Schnee Schnook and Rocket Easy by Sound Rogue can be found on pond5.com. Catch you next time, and watch out for those hell bugs.
Yeah, how are you liking the Mackie?
Love it. Still getting to know it. Still not kind of, you know, first base level. Haven't really gotten a second base with it yet.
Yeah, it takes a while for all that stuff, you know? It really does. And that's why people hate moving mixers and everything, because every one of them is different. It's sort of like the clutch on a motorcycle. I don't care if it's the same model, same year, everything. And you get two of those things, and they're going to be different in some way.
Right. I put off taking out the old mixer as long as I could, but it just got to a point where I had to do it in order to get it to the RMA on time.
That's funny.
Yeah, I guess.
It's always like that.
Get this. So, in order to put the mixer in, this was my day yesterday. In order to put the mixer in, I had to pull out the desk. And you've seen the desk. It weighs literally a ton.
Yeah.
And I had it on these little 4-inch round slider, furniture slider things.
Yeah, sure.
And there's like 8 of them underneath the desk, whatever. So I thought, hey, that'd be enough. It's not. It's not enough contact surface area for it to distribute the weight enough for it to even not easily move it. So I was basically manhandling it. I'm like, yeah, okay, this is stupid. So I wanted to put some bigger sliders in. So I go to Walmart. I get bigger sliders. I come back and I'm able to manhandle like one side of the desk, and we get a couple of them in. And I'm like, you know, in order to get the back done, I'm actually going to have to jack this desk up.
I was
going
to say, did you wind up jacking it up? Because I've done that.
Yep. I've got a 1.5-ton hydraulic car jack. So in order to do it, underneath there's a lip on the back, and I had to put cribbing up to get the jack high enough so that I could actually pump it up. And so I went downstairs to get the cribbing, which is basically, I call it cribbing. It's 4x4s, cut up 4x4s that I've used for various things to protect things from potential water damage and stuff in the basement, which, by the way, is when I found that the water heater had gone Tango uniform. So I didn't really do anything with that yesterday. It's draining a little bit into the floor drain that it's next to. So I'm like, and it's Saturday, so no plumber is, you know, can't get a hold of anybody and whatever.
Oh, of course not.
And I could go to Lowe's or Home Depot, but I have done a lot of research, and then the water heaters that you get from those places are substandard. So I would like a little bit better water heater to throw in there, which means I have to get it through a plumbing house. So I was like, okay, I'll let that aside. So the whole desk, hot water heater, and then the mixer thing, so it's been sporty. Is Shannon there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's around.
Hey, Shannon.
She's, you got to turn it on, babe. There you go.
Hey, man.
Ah, there you are. All right.
Yeah, I had her. I run normally with her mic off, you know, because you'll get weird reverbs and stuff like that if I actually, because I leave it plugged in now. So you get all kinds of weird noise and if she's plugged in during this. So I turn her off.
All right.
But, you know, I've had good luck with the one.
You're saying you turn me on.
one woman's trash is another woman's perfume. Just remember that.
I will remember that.
I'm perfumey, damn it. Nicole said so.
Super SP ain't doing it.
No, it's not. That's not something that... See, and I try and shy away from those things now because it's like I have to remember. You have to tell yourself, I'm a middle-aged man.
Yeah, you are.
I should not be doing this. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we'll just hot manhandle that. You know, that may not be a good idea.
Are you going to manhandle, baby?
Large desks, cars. You know, when you're like 20 or something, you can just, oh, I'll just put my hip into it or put my back into it, and we'll just
now
make this happen.
Back out.
Now you just go, oh God, no.
Why do you think I spend 9 hours in the gym every week?
How many?
Nine. It's about 3 hours every time. Well, from front to back. So by the time I actually pull up to the parking lot to the time I leave, so that includes changing time and showering.
He's counting shower time.
I am.
Exercise.
I wish
I had that amount of time. I get about an hour and a half maybe free time when I get off work and I go to the gym.
Yeah.
Before I have to come home and pass out.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, we're all middle-aged people, and right. We cannot do the same things we did when we were 20 now. Yes. We just can't. You know, true. It's funny when people think, I'm really in shape. I'm like, you're in shape until you pop an injury.
Yeah.
And then wait to see how long that sucker takes to fix itself.
Spent the last 10 years rehabbing.
Yeah.
I have. Exactly. I literally have.
You're like, it doesn't get any better
as,
after this.
As a matter of fact, that's what I should call my gym time. It's not actual workout time. It's physical therapy time.
Exactly.
And so I don't like get tongue twisted when I introduce you. How do you pronounce your last name?
Oh, we could go through that entire 15-minute thing that Nicole did where she berated you guys.
Yeah, she
oh my God, that was brutal. I felt like mom and dad were fighting. It's McClellan.
McClellan, I thought so, but I just was making sure.
Yeah, but we've screwed it up before.
We have been told, so we're...
Yeah. No. Oh, man, it was brutal.
It was.
Worth it, though.
Yeah.
God.
Voices of Defiance podcast number 39, recorded live, Sunday, July 26, 2015. And again,
something going.
Did you guys hear that?
Yes. We heard your intro, but not the music.
Technical difficulties, new mixer.
You got a brand new mixer.
Technical difficulties number 39.
It was a button that
Well, who knows
push.
The song better, Shannon or Sean?
Neither.
We'll just beat
that. I think that means
out,
you,
man.
Shannon. Shannon, can you just sing the song?
All right. Sorry, folks. Here we go again. Voices of Defiance podcast number 39, recorded live Sunday, July 26, 2015. And again, it's not fixed.
I heard the reel cut in.
Yeah, but I'm not hearing it on the record, so hold on.
The question is, everyone else hearing this?
I'm sorry. It's not funny.
Dude, I've been there. I know. I've been there.
No,
still can't hear it.
Is it on? Okay, turn it on.
The button?
Yeah, it's on.
We're such professionals.
So, Billy.
I was going to say, let's just chat with Billy for a while.
Go ahead. You know, laugh it up.
He's like, I got nothing, really.
No, I'm just tweeting your technical difficulties.
He's like on the show with a couple of idiots. Talk to you guys after.
It's so frustrating when you start to hashtag defiance, and because of the thing that's happening in Greece, all of the hashtag you have to go to DEFI. There we go.
I know, it used to be just DEF and you'd pick it up.
Yeah.
And now they make things difficult for us.
Oh, yeah. First world problems, y'all.
Way to go, Greece.
All those damn Greece people, all those Grecians and stuff.
Do you guys understand what you're doing to us over here?
Don't you understand? We have to tweet about the show. Thank you. If you guys could just keep it to a dull roar, that'd be great.
And I tweet all the time.
You know what? This show, so like 8 weeks ago, is the first real attempt I had at Twitter. So I felt on Friday night, it was the first night that I was able to get through the show without hyperventilating and sweating while I was tweeting because
it's hard. It's hard to watch. It's hard for me to watch and tweet at the same time. So I have to go back later and rewatch it just so I can know what the hell would happen.
Yeah. Well, I've been lucky in that we've been getting, it airs on Friday in the States and it airs on Sunday in Canada. So we've been getting together on Sunday. I've been getting together with Trenna on Sundays and we've been watching the show. So I tweet during the American broadcast and then actually watch the show on the Sunday broadcast.
I know the feeling. There's so much happening during that hour and my phone is constantly going off. And you're trying to keep up with the tweets and you're trying to say your thing and then you're trying to watch what's shown and you're like, wait, what just happened? I missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kills me. We'll be watching the show or whatever and Shannon will be like, well, what just happened? I'm like, you're watching the show. She goes, no, I'm tweeting. It's different. I can't talk. And she's just constantly typing. Hey man,
it's all for the hashtag.
All right, screw this. We're just going to go. I'm not going to hear my own music, but okay, let's go.
We can all just, well, all three of us will just sing something independent of what you're doing.
Kind of figured. Okay, here we go.
Jenna's like, tickle my nethers with your beautiful Australian accent more. Twix my nethers, that's what it was. I always get the...
Kaylee.
I thought it was Twix.
Twitter.
No, I don't think she says Twitter. Okay. I think she says Twix my nethers. Somebody can get us on that, but I'm pretty sure that's
what
it is.
That would be a firefly.
Did I finish the story? So, jacked up the desk, installed the mixer. Oh no, I didn't finish the story. So, I go to RMA the old mixer, put it in the mixer box, get ready to print out the email that you have to do to send off to Behringer, and printer wouldn't work. So I had to go out and buy a new printer yesterday, too, in order to print the RMA to send the mixer in. So my Behringer mixer is responsible for new sliders to the desk, a new mixer, a $600 new mixer, a new water heater. We'll just put a price tag at $1,200. Who knows? So that's $1,800, plus a new printer and printer cartridges. So that's $300. So that's $2,100 just because of the Behringer mixer.
Wow, that's some heavy mixing, sir.
Yeah. I hate that board.
See, I've never had a day of trouble out of mine.
You know, broadcast has been successfully terminated.